This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What have we been covering for the last 2 weeks? Suratul Fatiha. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been covering Suratul Fatiha and uncovering some of its meanings, delving into its secrets, and the link between Suratul Fatiha and the topic of enjoy your salah, I think is quite obvious. Suratul Fatiha is necessary in every one of the units of salah that you pray, if you are, of course, an imam, or if you are praying by yourself. So it's inconceivable, it doesn't make any sense, to pray several times a day and repeating Al-Fatiha over 20 times a day on average and not knowing what you are reciting. And I hope with the journey that we started last week or the week before, it's excited you and encouraged you to begin a personal journey on Surah Al-Fatiha by yourselves. And just as importantly, to start a brand new journey with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from cover to cover, even if it's going to be a light tafsir, a light commentary that you will cover at least once in a lifetime. Don't die until you have achieved this as a goal in your life. Surah Al-Fatiha, to give you an idea of how it was just the surface that we scratched of this remarkable surah. Al-Razi, rahimahullah, said to one of his contemporaries, and he mentioned this in the introduction of his tafsir called At-Tafsir al-Kabir. He said that I told some of my contemporaries that Surah Al-Fatiha has over 10,000 rulings within it. Surah Al-Fatiha, 7 verses. One can extract and deduce approximately 10,000 rulings. One of his contemporaries, he said, accused me of exaggerating. He said, come on, this is insane. And so he decided to meet the challenge, Al-Razi, in his tafsir, Fathul Kabir, or At-Tafsir al-Kabir, and in the very first volume, was dedicated entirely to Surah Al-Fatiha, a whole volume, where he covered thousands of rulings, masail, points of discussion, taken just from these majestic 7 ayat of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I'm mentioning this to give you an idea that 2 hours on Surah Al-Fatiha is just enough to unlock the interest in the surah. But I leave it now in your hands, inshallah ta'ala, to continue your journey. A question for you. We've begun our salah, you have said Allahu Akbar, we've spoke about the introductory dua, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik and others. We've spoke about A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, the isti'adha. We've spoke about Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We've covered Al-Fatiha. Now, you are about to do what? To recite another surah of the Qur'an. If you are in the first 2 units of any one of your 5 daily prayers, you are highly encouraged to recite another chapter of the Qur'an when you have finished Surah Al-Fatiha. Question. Why is it that recitation of the Qur'an has been placed in the standing position of salah? Have you thought about that? Why wasn't the recitation of the Qur'an positioned in the bowing position? Why was it not ordained for when you are prostrating? Which of the movements of salah is most honorable, by the way, in your estimation? Yeah, that's right. Sujood, prostration. So why is Quran not dedicated for the moment in sujood? Why when you are standing? There is a secret here. What do you think the answer is? Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith which Al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, أَلَا إِنِّي نُهِيتُ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ رَاكِعًا أَوْ سَاجِدًا. I have been prohibited, the Prophet said, I have been prohibited from reciting the Qur'an in a state of bowing or prostrating. It is haram for me to recite the Qur'an there. How come? Why when you are standing? Any thoughts? Very quickly before we move on. Take a stab at it, brothers. Sisters, give it some thought as well. What do you think? Yeah.
I was going to say, because maybe Allah made it easy for us. Because it would be easy to recite Quran standing up rather than, you know, court when breathing is a bit more difficult than standing up when your throat is straight.
Yeah. Okay, good. So our brother Zallah Khair has given us an answer, which is probably a little bit more physiological. Perhaps he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing mercy upon us. to recite Quran when you're standing, where everything is opened up in terms of your airways, your pathways, etc. Which may be a little bit more difficult if you are in that kind of compromising position of bowing, prostrating, perhaps. Yeah, great. Any other answer? What are your thoughts? Rubel. By the way, brothers, don't wait for me to look at your face and think there's an answer brewing. Yeah, put your hand up. Rubel.
Maybe because with the Quran's commandments and so forth, when you're reciting sort of instructions for that, and then that's being sort of heard by the congregation or for yourself in when you're standing up. So it's maybe easier to sort of listen to that and feel those commands, hear those commands.
Okay, good. So perhaps you are saying, let me rephrase what you said, that if you are in a standing position, you are more in a position to understand, take heed of what you are saying, because you are in your natural position. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and like say you're in Jamaat, in the congregation, to hear and to listen to those words is easier when you're standing.
Excellent. Okay, so perhaps it is easier to hear the Quran when you are in a standing position as opposed to if you are bowing. Great. Yes? Is it perhaps to do with the fact that we are in a state of conversation with Allah, so we are standing? Okay, good. Good, you're on the right lines. Imam Ibn Qayyim, he says, giving you the secret as per why perhaps it is ordained that we are reciting Quran in a state of standing, not in bowing or prostrating. He said, وَلَمَّا كَانَ أَشْرَفُ أَذْكَارِ الصَّلَاةِ الْقُرْآنِ جُعِلَ فِي أَشْرَفِ هَيْئَةٍ وَهِيَ الْقِيَامِ. He says, the fact that the Quran, the recitation of the Quran, is the most honorable part of the prayer in terms of what you say, it has been positioned in the most honorable state that you are in as a human being, and that is standing. Did you get that? He said, since the Quran is the most honorable dhikr, the most honorable remembrance that you will utter in your salah, what can be more honorable than the Quran? It was matched and positioned in the same station that is most honorable for you as a human being, and that is the position of standing. What is more honorable for you, brother, sister? Is it when you meet someone and you bow or prostrate, which of course is haram to anyone or anything other than Allah, or is it when you're standing upright in a dignified format? So in terms of your day-to-day interactions with people, it is most honorable for you, it is most dignified that you meet them in a standing position and your back straight. And since this is the most honorable of positions, the most honorable Quran has been placed in that position accordingly. Subhanallah, hikmatun baligha, wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you have finished the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, and we've understood why the recitation of Quran is placed in your standing position. We said now you are about to begin the recitation of other parts of the Quran. Focus with me here, brothers and sisters. I want you, when you approach the next salah and you are about to recite the next bit of Quran, to not do it purely because it is what is required of you for an optimum salah. You're not merely reciting the Quran to improve the quality of your salah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring you more hasanat. And these are valuable objectives, but there is also more that you seek. You are reciting the Quran with the intention of engaging your heart and soul with every ayah that you're about to recite. You are presenting your heart and your mind and your body and soul to your medicine, to what you need. And so you come out of salah as a better person. Ask yourself the question, or you may ask someone who's just come out of salah, what has Allah Almighty just told you? Wallahi, I'm not too sure. What did He tell you not to do? Again, I'm not too sure. How are your decisions and your life model different now that you've finished your dhuhr, asr, maghrib, salah? It hasn't changed much. If these are our answers, then realize that you and I have not unlocked the maximum of what the salah is expected of us. Salah is supposed to change you, The Quran in your salah is speaking to you. It is the divine message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. It is a personalized message from the heavens with your name on it. So think about this when you are say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and you begin reciting. And that is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, advising us about how we should approach the Quran, it is transformational. He said, La tanthiruhu nathra daqli. Don't scatter your recitation of the Quran as if it were old dates falling off a tree. وَلَا تَهُذُّوهُ هَذَّ الشَّعْرِ. And don't recite the Quran hastily as if you're going through a passage of poetry. وَقِفُوا عِنْدَ عَجَائِبِهِ. He said, pause at the wonders of the Quran. وَحَرِّكُ بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ. And move the hearts of people as you recite. وَلَا يَكُونُ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ أَخِيرَ السُّورَةِ. And don't make your main concern when you're reciting Quran to get to the other end of the surah, the chapter. Interact with the Quran. Engage with it. Present it to your heart. Expose yourself to the nafahat, the breezes of the Quran that have come from a different world, that are extraterrestrial, words of your Lord. The messengers, they would say to their communities, أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي. I am conveying to you the messages of your Lord. كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. عِكْرِمَةُ بْنِ أَبِي جَهْلٍ would weep when he would kiss the Quran, and he would say, kalamu Rabbi, these are the words of my Lord. These are the words of my Lord. He's really understanding how we have something directly from Allah in our hands and within our hearts. How do you feel when you are reciting Quran in salah? Ask yourself this question and interrogate your soul harshly. We want to be like our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Khashi'in, the leader of those who prayed with khushu'ah, humility. As Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, one of those companions who saw firsthand a glimpse of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's prayer, and he said, "Ma marrat bihi ayatu rahmatin illa waqafa 'indaha yas'al, wa ma marrat bihi ayatu 'adhabin illa waqafa 'indaha yata'awwadh." He said every ayah of rahmah, mercy, that he recited in his salah, he would pause and he would ask Allah for his mercy. And every time he would come across an ayah of the Quran that speaks of the wrath, the punishment of Allah, he would pause and he would ask Allah for protection. Do you see? Tafa'ul. He's engaging with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, I share with you a snapshot of our predecessors and how they interacted with the book of Allah for you and I to measure ourselves against their example. And then we will ask the question, why do we feel that perhaps we're a little bit different to them in our salah? We'll get to that in a moment. As-Siddiq Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has a fallout with a relative of his called Misṭaḥ, son of Uthatha. Misṭaḥ radiyallahu anhu was a righteous companion who'd attended the Battle of Badr. But he is a human being and he made a mistake. And he insulted our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or he spoke ill of her honor at a time when he should have defended her. It's a human mistake, la ilaha illallah, and Allah has forgiven him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was infuriated with this behavior. How can you speak about the honor of my daughter like this? And Misṭaḥ was a poor man and he was under the expenditure of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was financing him completely. So he said, by Allah, I will never spend a penny on him ever again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah from the Quran, from Surah An-Nur, saying, وَلَا يَأْتَ لِأُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah said, let not those righteous people amongst you and those who have wealth take an oath that they will not spend upon their relatives and the poor and the migrants in the path of Allah. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. And they should forgive and they should overlook. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you wish that Allah Almighty should forgive you? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is forgiving and merciful. Abu Bakr, he heard these verses. And he realized that he was primarily being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, saying to him, you people of righteousness who have money, you should not take an oath to not spend upon your family. And so he wept. Do you see how he behaved and interacted with the Quran? It wasn't just another ayah that he's doing sabak tartil, memorizing with. He wept. He realized he's being addressed. And he said, yes, I do want Allah Almighty to forgive my sins. The verse says, forgive. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? He said, yes, wallahi, I do love that Allah should forgive me. And he went to Misṭaḥ and he said to him, here is your expenditure. the money that I give you, I will never deprive you of it ever again. The idea here is, this wasn't just an ayah that he wanted to improve his tajweed, his pronunciation in. It was a reality that they moved with. This is the purpose of Quran, that you recite in salah and out of salah. La ilaha illallah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is walking through the streets of Medina in the middle of the night, and he hears a man reciting from behind the door of his home, Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi'. The punishment of your Lord is coming. Speaking about Allah's punishment for the people who meet him as kuffar. Allah said, Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi'. The punishment of your Lord is coming. Ma lahu min dafi'. Nobody can avert it. It cannot be stopped. Umar, he heard this and he stopped in his track and he said, Qasamun wa rabbil ka'bati haqq. I swear by Allah, the Lord of the Kaaba, this is the truth. And then he became ill. It had a physiological impact on him. And he went home and he was bedbound. And for an entire month, people were visiting him on his bed, next to him, attending to his need, not knowing what has paralyzed this man. And what had paralyzed him and hurt him was his interaction with the Book of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, Subhanallah al-Azim. Umar radiallahu anhu hears another ayah from the Quran. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain the position of true piety, Allah said, till you spend from the money that you love, till you give from that which you love the most. At once Umar comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I have this plot of land in Khaybar. It's in my name. I want to give it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was one of the very first waqf endowments that was given for public use. One ayah changed his property portfolio. How many times have you and I recited this ayah? May Allah Jalla Jalaluhu forgive you and I. You see how they behave with the Quran? This is my question to you, my brother, my sister, more importantly to myself. As you recite, what are you feeling? How are your priorities in life being reshuffled? What is changing? Abdullah ibn Abbas, one of the most scholarly of our ummah when it comes to the Book of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. He is on his mount, on his horse, imagine, he's traveling. The news is conveyed to him midway that his brother or his son has passed away. Put yourself in that position, what would you do? I would probably fall off the mount. News was given to him that his brother or his son had passed away. There is a doubt in the narration. Abdullah ibn Abbas, a true scholar of the Quran, took to one side of the road. He got off his mount and he began to pray two rak'ah of salah. And then when he finished, he told his friends why he did that. He said, because Allah Almighty said in the Quran, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help in patience and in salah. That's what Allah said. Seek patience. In patience and salah. So this ayah that you and I have remembered and have recited and have memorized, Abdullah ibn Abbas remembered it at the epicenter of his difficulty. At the hour of the tragedy. What could be worse than hearing of a beloved one of yours passing away? The Quran flashes. And he begins to pray. This is how they behave with the Book of Allah. And that's why Allah Almighty chose them to surround the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They absorbed the Quran. They ingested the Book of Allah. And it blossomed these fruits of application and transformation. Ibn Abi Mulaika, one of the tabi'een, travels with Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion. And he said, when the night would come, Abdullah ibn Abbas would spend half of the night in Qiyam. He's a traveler, brothers, sisters. Half of the night, subhanAllah, standing in salah to Allah. He said, يُرَتِّلُ الْقُرْآنَ حَرْفًا حَرْفًا. He was reciting the Quran letter by letter. وَيُكْثِرُ فِي ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ النَّشِيجِ وَالنَّحِيبِ. And we would hear him sobbing and weeping abundantly. We would hear him sobbing and weeping abundantly in the middle of the night as we were asleep. This is how they behave with the Book of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. The community of Medina, this is not just individual examples. The community of Medina receives the final verse prohibiting alcohol once and for all. Allah Almighty said, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you not desist? And the Muslims, in one voice, they said, انتهينا انتهينا. We have desisted. No more drinking. We have desisted. And the streets of Medina were now flowing with alcohol as the companions were coming out of their homes, coming out of their shops, coming out of their cellars. pouring out the alcohol that they had into the streets of Medina, till some narrations suggest that even the animals became intoxicated. Subhanallah. This is how they behave with the prohibition. So present yourself against these examples. This is the purpose of the Quran. As you are reciting it in salah and outside of salah. And by the way, these examples are not limited to the men. We have also examples of women who moved and interacted and engaged with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the verses of hijab were finally revealed, obligating Muslim women to differentiate themselves and to wear the veil over their bodies and over their heads, Allah Almighty said, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, let them throw their garments over themselves. Aisha, she said, depicting the type of response that the female companions gave, she said, فَشَقَّقْنَ مُرُوطَهُنَّ فَاخْتَمَرْنَ بِهَا. Instantly, there and then, as the ayah was being recited, the female companions began to rip the extra parts of their clothes, and they were dressing themselves with it. They were covering themselves with it. They started to rip the extra parts of their clothes, and they began to cloak and veil themselves with it. Instant transformation, subhanAllah. And our mother Aisha, she spends hours reciting one ayah of the Quran in salah. When her nephew came to visit her, and he said, I found my auntie standing in her room in salah, Aisha radiallahu anha, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting the ayah, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. Allah was kind to us and He protected us from the punishment of hell. These are the words of the people of Jannah, inshallah. May Allah make us amongst them. They will enter paradise and they will say, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. Allah was gracious to us and He saved us from the punishment of hell. So she is reciting this ayah. And she's imagining the fortune, the blessing of someone who enters Jannah. And she's reciting it over and over again. And she is weeping every time. And he says, I went round the entire area. And I went to the market. And I purchased my needs. And I came back to give salam to my auntie. Because it was his habit to visit her every morning before he goes to the marketplace. She was still standing there in her mihrab, reciting, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. When was the last time you had this type of experience with the book of Allah, my brother, my sister? And the examples are infinite. From the Sahaba to the Tabi'een, to righteous people like yourselves, inshallah, in this very day of ours. It's true, the Quran is miraculous and has had moving, lasting effects on people. Is it having the same effect on you? Ask yourself this question. Now you will say, as you hear some of these examples, how come I don't feel the same way? This Asr Salah that we carried out about half an hour ago, if you experience some of these meanings that I shared with you, then alhamdulillah, this is great, and I'm sure some of you did. But if, like the most of us, you didn't, ask yourself the question, how come? Why is it that some of us fail to interact with the Book of Allah Almighty as they did? You see, if you were to ask the average Muslim, what do you recite in salah? After you finish from Al-Fatiha, what do you read? Most Muslims will say what? Qisar al-Suwar. The short chapters of the Quran. I recite Al-Ikhlas, Al-Falaq, Al-Nas, Al-Tariq, Al-A'la, Al-Teen, Al-Sharh, Al-Zalzala. And a lot of our brothers and our sisters, they will say, sadly speaking, this has come to the detriment of the longer surah of the Quran. Some have not recited a long surah in their salah for months, maybe years. Some of us may have never recited Al-Baqarah or parts of it in a salah of ours, or Al-Ma'idah, or Al-An'am, or Yunus, or Hud, one of the longer surah. Some of our brothers will even say, and sisters, I have never even read these surah. I have never come across Surah Fatir. I don't remember reciting Surah Al-Ahzab. I haven't covered it. So we say, okay, you have just told me that you only recite the short surahs of the Quran. And you have ignored the longer surah of the Quran. Okay, for a moment, let me ask you about some of the key words of these short surah of the Quran that you and I only recite. What does Al-Khannas mean? What does Waqab mean? What does li'ilafi mean? What does al-adiyat mean? What does al-muriyat mean? What does qadha mean? What do these words mean? Who is as-samad? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ as-samad. What is as-samad? And a lot of brothers, and a lot of our sisters will say, quite frankly, I have no idea. So we say, hold on a minute. Not only have you and I left and ignored the long surah of the Qur'an, never covering any of them in salah. We only recite the small surah of the Qur'an. And even these short surah of the Qur'an, we don't understand. So all we know of these short surah of the Qur'an is their length. As for their meanings, we don't know. And then we wonder, how is it that I find that salah does nothing for me? Lah ya akhi. My sister, it's not that salah has done nothing for you. It's that we, for the most part, have done nothing for our salah. Do you see? This is the issue. And that is why it is very difficult to imagine a scenario of someone who recites anything or reads anything which he does not understand and somehow derive an enjoyment from it, let alone imani experiences. The Quran is no different. Sometimes the key reason why we fail to enjoy our salah and the Quran we recite is for a simple reason. It's not for a huge, complicated purpose or a reason. Like, for example, I have dark sins covering my heart and I am an evil person. Sometimes it's not as deep as that. Sometimes it's for a reason that's a lot simpler. And that is, we are yet to understand what Allah is saying to us. We simply don't understand the Arabic language. And even if we do, we have not made an attempt to unlock the key words and the key sentences of the Quran. And that is why the Shaykh of the Mufassirin, the Imam of all exegetes, scholars of interpretation of the Quran, that our Islamic history has ever seen, and he is Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he said in the introduction to his tafsir, إِنِّي لَأَعْجَبُ مِمَّنْ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا يَفْهَمْ مَعَانِيهِ كَيْفَ يَلْتَذُّ بِهِ. He said, I am amazed at a person who recites the Quran and does not understand its meanings. How can he derive any enjoyment from the Quran? I am amazed at a person who recites the Quran but does not understand its ta'wil, its interpretation. How can he or she attain any enjoyment from it? This is the key reason. And that is why I say, my brother, my sister, make an effort to get to the Arabic language. Because this is the language that Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, in His wisdom, chose for His final communication to you. The people who came before you and I saw the Quran as messages from Allah. Messages that are personalized, that have your name written on it. And that is why Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. We have revealed, we have brought down to you a book that has your mention within it. We have brought down a book that has your mention within it. Allahu Akbar. So what is the mention? What is Allah saying? Find a way to get to the Arabic language. Ubay ibn Ka'b, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, تَعَلَّمُوا الْعَرَبِيَّةَ كَمَا تَعَلَّمُونَ السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Learn the Arabic language as you memorize the surah from the Quran. Give it the same amount of importance. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he sees two men circumambulating around the Kaaba. They're doing tawaf. They're Persian men and they're speaking Farsi, Persian, to one another. Umar radiallahu anhu grabs the shoulders of one of those two men and he said to him, ibtaghi ila al-arabiyyati sabila. Find a way to get to the Arabic language. Find a way to get to the Arabic language. And for you to live and die having not enjoyed the communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly as it was revealed in the Arabic language without the need for a translation, it is to die in a disappointing and pitiful state, having missed out on one of the greatest joys that life today has to offer, and that is to read the words of Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand them. Ni'mah from Allah jalla jalaluhu. What religion, what community, what denomination out there today on our planet could claim that they have a book that is from God Almighty. Many make that claim, yet all of them are false, and the only one that is true in its claim is the claim of the Muslims. So how can it be, therefore, that we only know of surahs of the Quran, we only know of their length? Now is the time to change that, brothers, sisters. And this is an automatic change to your khushu' in salah, when you understand what you are reciting, so that you come out of your salah and you say, I know what Allah just told me, and I know what He told me not to do, and I feel encouraged to do this, and I feel, alhamdulillah, demotivated to do this evil. And this has changed the way I see things. And this relationship I will now mend. And this financial transaction I will stop. What? Because I recited something in the Quran. Allah is speaking to me, subhanahu wa ta'ala.